Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhone, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. Remember that. You can download that free app. It can be on your device anytime you want to listen to WWGH. Now, I noticed last week that Scott Spears interviewed Buster Douglas, the boxer who defeated Mike Tyson. It's been a few years back, but I was impressed with that. You go, Scott. Okay, now let me start my show. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515, or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their free produce market will open up in April, so stay tuned for the date and times that should be coming up soon. We also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio, and their telephone number is 740-262-0939. I have a couple announcements for you. Welcome all. Child Evangelism Fellowship Luncheon and Silent Auction to benefit the Good News Club. Many of you have heard of the Good News Club. It's basically in the elementary schools. It's after-school Bible study class. And maybe you haven't heard about that, but it does take place in Marion, Ohio. This event will be this Saturday, March the 7th, 2020. It will be held at Cornerstone Alliance Church at 2010 Marion Marysville Road. The doors open at 10:30, okay, for early bird bidding. That way you can come in and look around and see what there is in the place to bid on, and you can get your bids down first if you like that, okay? 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There will be a luncheon. The donation is $10. They will have shredded chicken sandwiches, Sloppy Joe sandwiches, and pulled pork sandwiches. Usually there is mac and cheese, green vegetable, which is usually green beans, also a salad, and there will be dessert, coffee, and usually lemonade. Okay, now if you need luncheon tickets, please call 740-262-0939. If you would like to mail a financial gift, make it payable to CEF in care of Cheryl Lee. That's Cheryl with a C, Lee. 6635 Groundhog Pike. That's the name of the street. 6635 Groundhog Pike, LaRue, Ohio, 43332. Okay, so hope to see many of you there. They have been doing a lot of advertising on the radio. They're looking for a great crowd, and always know that there are many, many, many nice, lovely, beautiful things and to auction on. And not only that, baked goods, pies, cookies, cakes. It's a phenomenal event, and I'm sure you will enjoy yourself. Also, soon coming up is Master Urban Farmer, Thursdays, March 19th, which is coming up soon, through April 16th. The time will be 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. at the Mays Community Temple. And that is located at 801 Bennett Street, Marion, Ohio. There is no cost to the community, but registration is required. All are welcome, including teens. You can register online at go.osu.edu/write Marion Urban Farmer, or call OSU Extension at 740-223-4040, or contact gherman.12@osu.edu to learn more. So hopefully many people in the community will take advantage of that. We're going back to basics now. Because, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of trouble with our food. At least we think so. They have so many callbacks that, you know, people are losing their faith in produce. Okay? I like to start my show out with a thought for today. And it begins, well, it's titled, Keep It Simple. With so many choices and decisions, so many demands from people and events in our modern fast-changing world, it's a real challenge to keep it simple. Making it simple means making things easy and clear. The magic wand to wave over your life is planning and prioritizing. Make plans, long and short term, and then prioritize. Then practice taking one thing at a time so you can have one thought at a time with some space before you have to have your next thought. But don't get attached to your plans or priorities. Be flexible, easy, and yet focused, clear, and in this way, you can teach yourself to think simply and act simply. One thought at a time, at your own pace, in your own space. A simple life is a contented life. I think I'm really going to take this thought for today to heart. My mind runs so fast. I don't know about yours. There's always not just one thought on my mind. It goes repeatedly like a recording over and over and over. I got this to do. I got to go here. Got to go there. I need to pick this up. Pick that up. Wow, I need to go across town. You know, it's just I have my radio show to do. Who's going to be on? What's the topic going to be? And then I need a thought for today. It's just one thing after another. But I do understand and realize we should do or tackle one thought at a time instead of trying to incorporate all this into one act. Let's deal with one thing at a time. And I think that we will be less stressed, less rushed. And not only that, your temperament. Because when you have so much to do, you're just so, you're short with people, you know, because you don't have time. And then what about those days everyone wants to call at the same time? And you have this busy schedule ahead of you. So just keep that to heart, and I'm going to try to do the same thing. Our guest is calling now, and he is Feister Gerald, and he's calling in reference to CEF. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Hi. I'm Jerry Feister with Child Evangelism Fellowship.
How are you today?
I am fine, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. It's very, very nice to be able to talk with you today.
Well, I'm happy to have you.
Thank you.
So how are you doing today?
I'm having to turn my phone up a little bit here. Excuse me.
Okay.
There it is.
All right. You hear me better now?
I can.
Okay, so how are you today?
Well, things have actually been very, very good. You know, I was just up in Finley making a deposit for CEF. As you know, Child Evangelism Fellowship is an old Christian charity, and it goes back to 1937, and we're currently in many, many countries around the world and serve around over 20 million children a year. So it's a big national thing, an international thing, and we are now to the point in Northwest Ohio But our chapter is actually in 10 counties, and we are serving over 1,700 children and almost 100 Good News clubs. And it's actually just growing and growing.
That's good.
Yes, I've been here now with for just about 2 years. And we started with 3 counties, and now we're in 10. So the ministry has actually taken off very, very nicely. Mike Todd's our director, mm-hmm. and he comes from Macomb. And all of us put a lot of miles on. So it's kind of fun. The Good News clubs are right now, I believe, in 97 schools in our area, and we hope to be in over 100 by the end of the year, and at least be serving another 100 children, taking us up to 1,800 during the school year. It's an interesting charity. I'm very old and very retired, but I can tell you that it's one of the most rewarding charities around because of the being able to get to children that have never been churched, have never, you know, don't know that there is a God, don't know anything about Jesus, don't know anything about the power that's there. And it's just a remarkable, remarkable thing when you see some of these kids who all of a sudden get the message, and before you know it, they drag their parents along to a church. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, they want to know more.
They certainly do. And it's a very, very well thought through curriculum, you know, being in existence as long as it is. We have right now 4 more volunteers in training, and these people are doing the heavy lifting for us all the time. Our staff is very efficient and very small. We have one director who serves the entire area, 3 part-time employees that get paid for far fewer hours than they put in, and actually this year will probably be 200 volunteers who actually, you know, are taught how to teach these sessions in the schools, and then they do the actual teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a remarkable thing.
It is remarkable. What do you think about the curriculum that CEF uses? Because, you know, a lot of people may think that, you know, we go in there and do our own thing and may teach their children mm-hmm. anything. And I always say, you know, that we are highly trained, and we go by the text that we are given. And we simply, after the teaching, offer them Christ, mm-hmm. a relationship with Christ. What do you think about that curriculum?
Well, I think the curriculum, you know, has been greatly upgraded even since I just joined the organization 2 years ago. I was fortunate enough to go to a state meeting a couple of months ago, and they were reviewing some of the training tools that are now available. They just keep expanding them and refining them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very impressed with it. Of course, I'm not an educator, so I'm not, you know, really qualified to talk very much about it. But what I saw was extremely well thought out, very clear, and, you know, absolutely tailored toward, you know, children with their attention span in today's society. I think it's extremely well done.
And it also ministers to us as teachers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's one of the things that we're very blessed with, is most of our volunteers are former teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are there. You know, my specialty is finance and accounting for the organization, so I'm not, you know, I couldn't, you know, carry their sandals, so to speak, with the work that they do with kids.
Yeah.
But it's remarkable.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And very much needed. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. The one thing that I've noticed, I also work with people with addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And if a child is exposed to church, God, Christ, at a young age, the potential of them recovering, is higher than people who have absolutely no background with Christ.
Wow.
And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to get involved with CEF, is that I've been working with Celebrate Recovery Group, mm-hmm. with our church. And the more I noticed the people who had, you know, absolutely gone through the fire, including the guy that runs our group over here now,
mm-hmm.
Is probably one of the best Christians I've run into in years. And the guys that make it through had some kind of church background, some introduction to Christ before they, you know, went through, pardon the expression, the hell of addiction.
Well, that's what addiction is. It can be just
It certainly is.
It seems like we have too much of that today.
Way too much, and it's not class-specific. You can be an extremely rich brat and wind up with it, or be a poor person with almost nothing and wind up with it. And the effects of it on your brain are about the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that you look at and say, in our society, there's got to be something done with the supply of drugs, and you can cut the supply off and people will still find a way to get them, because the suppliers, the cartels, are so good at getting around everything. But it's a mess, and my experience is that if we're able to at least get the kids an introduction to Christ, then they have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people try to throw this thing for 6 and 7 and 8 times and fail, and then wind up, you know, not with us anymore. And it's a crying shame. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that we as a society have to fight. And I think it's another benefit of CEF that people aren't talking about, is that at least if they get some introduction to God and to Christ, in the back of their mind somewhere, if God elects them, they're going to have a chance to beat any kind of addiction.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And you're right about that. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
I was thinking, you know, that's a result, I believe, of prayer being taken out of schools, is what we're looking at, where the addiction has just really taken over so many families in our communities and our hospitals. You know, it's just, it's overwhelming. It really is. And it's just...
Well, I think you're right. I mean, you know, this idea that the First Amendment can be pushed aside because of any issue that modern culture wants to throw at it is absolutely against what the Founding Fathers had in mind, totally. And I think, you know, the Alliance Defense Fund and some of the people are doing really a very good job now, and starting to combat part of our own government that's, you know, quite frankly, down the wrong path. You know, it's something that can be improved, that's for certain. You know, and I'm still heartened by the football coaches and the people in school who are Christian enough to stand up for it and live by example. Mm-hmm. And when you have children, that's a wonderful thing, is to have an example.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, I guess one of the things, too, that I wanted to talk about is the way CEF is funded.
Okay.
A lot of the big Christian charities are, you know, funded by, marketing campaigns and a lot of, shall we say, high-end, high-profile fundraising activities. The Child Evangelism Fellowship has always, in our area, been locally funded. It's the churches and the people that help us do what we do. We don't have, you know, the high-end marketing programs like you'll see with the big hospitals, or actually even some of the high-end evangelists who pay, you know, millions of dollars to go fundraise. Ours are locally based. Our fundraising is locally based. And we have a whole bunch of very, very good people who will be sending us anywhere from $10 a month up to support this kind of a ministry. It does make it very challenging from a financial point of view, but it also is very rewarding to the people, I think, because it, you know, it's all local.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that we're doing is right hometown. It's in schools, it's in our county fairs, it's in the summer clubs for the kids, it's in our local events that we show up. And we've had very, very good attendance at the fairs with our face painting booths and our very short little Bible lessons.
Mm-hmm.
In the tents. And some of the festivals have come off really, really well. You know, we're not emphasizing fundraising like a lot of charities do. And it doesn't make the job of being the finance guy very easy once in a while, but, you know, God has always found a way to do and let us grow the way we've grown, which is amazing. But, you know, I would plead with any listener that thinks the children in school should at least be familiar with Jesus Christ, you know, to consider donating something, whether it's time or money or talent, to Child Evangelism Fellowship, because it is a very, very good thing for the kids.
Yes, it is a very good thing, not just for the kids, but it's a big help to our communities, to our schools. It just makes a big difference, whether people realize it or not. What better program could you have in the school that helps teaches the children new skills, life skills, you know, where they can problem solve, you know, and that's even big for adults, being able to solve problems or making the right choices or shaping their character, you know, and
mm-hmm. Yeah, and they, you know, and if the child makes it through school without any kind of a concept of how great the power of God is and how Jesus Christ can work in his life, he might He might just wind up successful, but he'll never be happy.
That's true.
Because the only true happiness, you know, comes from a good relationship with God. And how do we get that message to these kids? Well, Child Evangelism Fellowship, if you look at the actual expenditure of reaching a child, is actually more efficient than most churches. I think we have an extremely, extremely low cost for getting the message to kids. And it's obvious that, you know, when we can get to 1,700 or 1,800 children with the message, and, you know, some children are able at a very young age to commit themselves to Christ. And we've had a very, very high percentage of salvations this year compared with prior years, where kids actually say, you know, I want to go. I want to commit myself to Christ. I want to be confirmed in a church.
Right.
And that's a wonderful thing because, you know, they're off on the right foot.
That's true.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is that higher education, particularly in this country, if you start going to most of the public schools, they are extremely secular. They are extremely liberal in their thinking to the point where they, you know, they outright discriminate against Christianity. And it's turned around totally since when I went to school. I had to go to, you know, theological courses in my college. Now, because of the way the government distributes money, very few colleges, you know, are able to stand on their own 2 feet. We're lucky in Ohio that we have as many as we do.
That's true. That is so true. You know, sometimes I think parents fail to realize that their young people are going to grow older, and they're going to step out into this not-so-friendly world one day and be on their own. And what kind of skills will they have, and what kind of values, you know, to help carry them through without introducing Christ to them, or, you know, the Bible to them, and teaching them a way to stand up and not give in, and say yes to this and say yes to that. All of that makes a big difference in a child's life, like you said. And if they happen to get into something, they have something in them that will help lead them and guide them and bring them through it and out of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That world is not so friendly.
Yeah, you know, it hasn't changed in a lot of ways since St. Augustine noticed the same thing in about 300, didn't he? Or was that the 200 AD? But, you know, I keep thinking back to Cicero's famous quote about the teenagers of today are going to ruin our society. And, you know, the world really hasn't changed that much. The only thing that has changed has been technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology today, pardon the expression, is making people a little bit lazier because they don't have to work to find out the knowledge base that's now sitting at their fingertips. And it's also taken away the art of conversation and one-on-one communication. And, of course, writing is a discipline that you have to think through what you're going to say as you write. And I think a lot of the acrimony that's on some of these websites is a function of people just reacting and not thinking. And it's, you know, we're raising up some really, really smart kids today who are able to using technology to really advance science and advance medicine and advance different things, different disciplines. But the vast majority of society isn't grounded in a religion or a theology of ethics that is going to help them live a full life. You can be extremely smart and be very wealthy and be very unhappy.
Yes. You see, we can't buy our way into heaven. A lot of people may think that, but you can't. And you can't get there by works, by being good. You can't be good enough to get into heaven. You need Christ to get into heaven. Your children need Christ to get into heaven. But, you know, somehow, when you ask people, you know, oh, I'm going to heaven, God is love. You know, yes, God is love, but he still has his standards. You're just not going to walk into heaven.
No. No, you aren't.
Yeah, they say that. It's they think that. No matter what they do, how they live their life, you know.
Yeah. Well, the prosperity gospel that is preached by somebody from down south who lives in a 15,000 square foot house and has his own corporate jet is, let's put it this way, I would bet more highly on one of our volunteer teachers making it to heaven than I would him.
Yeah, because he can't buy his way in. That's for sure.
No, and you can't do it by the good works you do either. You have to live it.
People say, well, we're under the law, and I'm obeying the law. But if you don't have Christ, what is that? The law means nothing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But, you know, if you have Christ, the good news is that for the most part, the laws are in place.
There you go.
With the exception of a few things that got through because of our current society, but, you know, those, if you look at the vast majority of law, are fewer in number. The law is basically still based on English common law, which was based on the Ten Commandments.
Yes, the laws of God, absolutely.
Yeah, and so was our Constitution, and so was our Declaration of Independence.
Right. And it seems like we're getting so far away from those principles, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah. I think we should be talking about CEF instead of this sometimes.
But it actually
all ties together if you look at the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. How do you get Christ back into the schools? How do you get Christ back into child's education so that he understands what his option is?
Right.
And, you know, a lot of us have struggled in life, and, you know, I just thank God that I had the background that I did in being able to come back to a church and back to Christ when I had fallen down hard.
Yes.
And it's you know, I can't imagine not having that.
No, me either. I don't know what I do. No. I don't know what I do.
Well, you know, we certainly wouldn't be as happy as we are now, that's for sure.
No, I wouldn't be. Or confident, you know, that he can take care of what I can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes. Yes, indeed. One of the things that I've noticed about the people at Child Evangelism Fellowship and the different people that I've met is that there is a brotherhood that's very, very akin to our regular church families. you know, you see the dedication is there. And people might differ about how they want to do things in our board meetings or those kind of things, but the sincerity is there. And that makes all the difference in the world when you're trying to do a ministry, mm-hmm. is if you have sincere people working toward the same goal.
That's true. Being in one mind, the mm-hmm. mind of Christ.
Yes, and, you know, we've been blessed, too. We have a very long-term, I will say, over 20 years as the CDF director, in Mike Todd, and he is a remarkable guy, I can tell you that of his time, talent, and treasure, he's all in. I mean, he's one of the best bosses I think I've ever had. I'm blessed with two really good bosses. I have him, and my functional boss is Mark Boyd, who is with the state organization. Mm-hmm. And they are just super people. They make working for them very, very easy. And actually, anybody who I've met who works in CEF has always been very, very positive about the kind of people that they run into there. I got asked to join this thing by a woman who was on the board who was a member of our church. And I thought and prayed about it for quite a while because, you know, I've been away from accounting for, you know, 40 years. I started my career as an accountant, but, you know, left and got into operations and did other things like building plants and stuff like that. But always working in corporations, and, you know, then I go try to be an accountant for a charity. It was quite a learning experience. I had forgotten so much, and fortunately, the people there are so good, they help you, you know, get around the corner with what you have to learn. And, you know, I'm in the back room of the business, so to speak. You know, I don't get out to see the kids, probably because I'm so old, I'd scare them.
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know.
They love grandpas, you know. They really do, and grandmothers. During our missionary stories, and it was an elderly lady, but they would sit so quiet for her and listen to that missionary story, and I would have to fight for some respect when I was teaching, you know. So they do like that. It's just you have a presence about you, you know, and they respect that. So don't think that. Whoa.
Well, you know, I'm not sure they want to turn me loose on kids, but to be very honest with you, mine are all, you know, well into their 50s, and I have grandchildren now that are way out of college, and it's you know, it's a whole different world when you drop down into that other generation of children.
Yes.
And my church has a Wednesday night program where we feed children from that are, you know, basically from the church or from the community, and bring them in and have some Bible study and some lessons. But basically, with a lot of them, it's to get them a good meal. And they very quickly relegated me to the kitchen running the dishwasher because I was raised by a World War II veteran. And his style was a little bit more harsh than is today's world, I think. The infamous story about me is that I was allowed to ride as a bus monitor once and asked not to do it again after I, you know, admonished a bigger child for beating a smaller one, probably in not very nice terms, but, you know, so I think God led me to the right area to help in this ministry.
Right. And that's that good. Way. We're glad to have you, and I know CEF is benefiting greatly because of your assistance with the program, and you're here to let people know that there is a need for financial support for Child Evangelism Fellowship. How can people contact you, or who do they give through, or would you like to share that?
Well, anyone can call me. The problem that I have with my phone is that I had to take my house phone out because I was getting, you know, as you get, say, I will tell you over 75, all of a sudden your phone is barraged with people trying to take advantage of you.
Yes.
So I've limited my phone calls, but I will say that anyone who would like to make a donation to Child Evangelism Fellowship could just write us a check and send it to CEF at box 454, Findlay, Ohio 45839-0454. And if anyone would like to text me on the phone, they can text me at 567-674-6054, and I will return their call. And we've been working. We do have an account set up with PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And people can make donations using their PayPal account. And it is, our account is CEF of Greater Findlay.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I just pulled that up right now while I'm on the computer. Get you exactly the right nomenclature for that one. We've not used it a lot except when we have fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see where we are. I don't mind where it is. Pardon me.
Okay.
That's part of the fun of running computers when you're old.
It happens for all age groups. I just believe that. I would like to,
because
I have such a hard
time
myself, you know. But, you know, he's giving you information, those of you who may be interested in supporting Child Evangelism Fellowship, and it is an organization that you should be proud to support financially.
Mm-hmm.
And share with other people that you may know. There is a need for the Word of God in our society today. Maybe one of the biggest needs we've ever had a time to witness in our life. We need it now more than ever. Your children need it. Your grandchildren need it. Because they are
yes.
The future.
Yes, and the PayPal account is CEF of Greater Findlay at hotmail.com. And if anyone texts me at my number about CEF, I will call them back, you know, probably within an hour most times. And we have been able to set up direct payments from banks to bank. Usually the person's bank has what they call an auto pay section, mm-hmm. where they just go in and say, you know, send a check for $20 or $10 at this particular date of a month to the Child Evangelism Fellowship at the address that I gave. And those checks just come automatically out of their account and right to the bank.
I'm going to repeat that again. Write check to CEF, all caps, P.O. Box mm-hmm. 454, Findlay, Ohio, mm-hmm. 45839-0454.
That's correct.
Okay. And I'm sure God would touch someone's heart out there that is listening today. And don't forget our silent auction, which will take place this Saturday here in Marion, Ohio, at Cornerstone Alliance Church, which is 2010 Marion, Marysville Road. You can also give donations there. Financial gifts will be accepted. Also, CEF, care of Cheryl Lee. 6635 mm-hmm. Groundhog Pike, LaRue, Ohio, 43332. And
yep.
It is a silent auction luncheon.
The fundraiser at Cornerstone is March 7th from 11
the
to 2.
Yes.
And that would be a silent auction. And we're also going to be at the, March 15th, we'll be at the ministry fair at St. John's Mennonite Church in Pandora. And April 21st, we'll be holding a volunteer appreciation meal for all of our volunteers at Marion Grace Church in Marion County. And then in May, we are going to be ministering to the children in Nevada at the Kids Festival at Nevada United Methodist Church. And in June, we'll be holding a ministry fundraiser at Gateway Church in Findlay.
Well,
we've got a lot of things coming up.
Yes, we do have a lot of things coming up. And believe it or not, we are out of time. Thank you.
Oh, Jerry. Well, it's been so nice talking with you, and I surely appreciate this opportunity.
And
God bless you.
God bless you, and I've enjoyed this conversation also. Jerry Pfister? Is that how you...
Jerry Pfister.
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 Okay, Pfister.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you once again for calling in and sharing the need.
Thank you, Linda, and God bless you for the work you do.
God bless you, too, and thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we thank Jerry for calling in. You have been listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Tune in tomorrow, same time, 4:15 to 5 p.m. here on 107.1 FM radio. Until next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For the famous cookie man, Wally Amos.
And around the corner comes George and Barbara Bush. The first thing that occurred to me to do was to play... I went to the chief. And George Bush didn't quite know what to do. But Bobby just started dancing.
To legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
Madeline Murray O'Hare, the most hated woman in America who took prayer out of public school. You know, we had a